college football.
Can he take this home?
You've come to the right place.
He's gone! Touchdown again, Josh Adams!
This is your home for Chicago's college tailgate.
Downfield looking for Godwin into his hands, and guess which dogs are barking first? Ugga, get after it!
Chicago's college tailgate.
Fire to the end zone! Touchdown! Alabama wins!
On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
The game is over! The Wildcats prevail!
It's time for Chicago's college tailgate on ESPN 1000.
The open field. It's the corner.
Got a great block. Unbelievable! 56 yards! Touchdown, USC!
This is Chicago's college tailgate, along with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah. Here's Jonathan Hood.
It is week 10 for Chicago's college tailgate here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Follow us on Twitter at ESPN1000CCT, and don't forget to hook us up on the Facebook wall as well, Facebook.com. Along with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah, Jonathan Hood with you for Chicago's college tailgate. We're going to lead you into Notre Dame football as they take on Northwestern. That's a 5 o'clock pregame and a 6:15 tip right here on the home of the Irish, ESPN 1000. Saturdays were built for days like this. Terrific games all throughout the day. Northwestern against Notre Dame. And I'll tell you this, Adam, both teams are playing very well. The Irish coming off their victory against Navy 44-22. Notre Dame quarterback Ian Book, 13 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. And also they're running the football pretty well with Dexter Williams with 7 scores and 7 yards per carry, which is a ton. Notre Dame has had a terrific season so far.
I think this is the best Saturday of college football so far. And it will be until next Saturday, basically. Like, because every Saturday there's something, but this Saturday, specifically right now with Michigan-Penn State going on, we've got Notre Dame-Northwestern, Alabama-LSU tonight. This is what Saturdays in college football are all about, the first Saturday in November. And like you said, Notre Dame has a chance to basically get over another hurdle to get them into that college football playoff. They've been running on all cylinders. They've been playing great football. Ian Book taking over the quarterback position like we've talked about since he has taken over, has played really well. He had a great game against Navy, 27 of 33 for 330 yards and 2 touchdowns, only 1 interception. Northwestern, kind of lucky in some of their wins. They beat Wisconsin last week without Alex Hornibrook. They have a decent defense. They struggle on offense. It should be a home atmosphere for Notre Dame going up to Evanston and facing Northwestern, as we know that that stadium tends to lend itself to the road team. So it should be a lot of Notre Dame faithful making their way up to Evanston right now. But I think this could be a good game. I think Notre Dame should be able to take advantage of mismatches and pull away and come out with another easy victory.
And guys, if you take a look at this matchup, Notre Dame traveling to Evanston, Northwestern, I think a lot of it comes down to Clayton Thorson, the senior quarterback for Northwestern, going against one of the very best defenses in the entire country in Notre Dame. S&P Plus has Notre Dame's defense ranked as 6th in the country. We saw Northwestern go against the best defense in the country earlier this year, Michigan. Northwestern lost that game. Clayton Thorson went 16 for 27 for 174 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. So the Wildcats really had a tough time moving the ball through the air and completing and getting into the end zone. And I think that's something to kind of watch. Clayton Thorson against this really good Notre Dame defense today.
Northwestern has won 12 of his past 13 games in the Big Ten, Adam. And as Chris mentioned, talking about Thorson, the quarterback for Northwestern, over 2,000 yards, 10 touchdowns. He also has 10 receptions as well. It is interesting, and I think that this might be the only show on ESPN 1000 that is going to be honest when it comes to the Wildcats. There's just no reason to just pat them on the head and just say good job, because we've seen it done with higher learning type of schools. We're talking about the Stanfords of the world. We're talking about the Notre Dames, of course, here in the home of the Irish. So to me, even though the history of Northwestern, outside of Randy Walker, outside of just a few coaches that were able to get it done, you still should be able to have sustained success and not just some lowly bowl game. I think that Northwestern should be able to be in the mix every year, especially based on the money now that is predicated to the program. You've seen that practice field. That should be, I think that Fitzgerald and the program should be further along than what they are.
Well, for Northwestern, this could be a statement win. If they find a way to beat Northwestern, or to beat Notre Dame, fourth ranked team in the country right now after the college football playoff rankings come out, the first ones come out this week, they have a chance to make a statement. in prime time at home with probably about 40% of their fans there, the rest of them Notre Dame fans, they have a chance to say, hey, we're not a fluke like everybody thinks we are. We're not the 105th ranked offense at S&P Plus. We can move the ball against a good defense.
Wait, what was that number?
105th Yikes. Ranked offense at S&P Plus. I just slipped it in there for
you. Well, easy.
Okay?
Yeah, don't slip it in.
Just slip that one in there for you. You'll hear that more than once today, I promise you.
Carry on, sir.
My point is that you have a chance to make a statement. At the same time, you have a chance to make a statement and win the Big Ten even if you lose this game, which makes this game very interesting because there will be a point in this game where Notre Dame could be up and Pat Fitzgerald will have to make a decision of whether or not it's time we go for this or whether it's time or not we decide, hey, we got Iowa next week. Let's win the Big Ten. Let's just...
Okay. But, Abdallah, that you're like trying to add some element of like resting players in MLB or NBA into college football. They're still going to play the game
hard. I understand that.
And still go for the victory. There's never going to be a point where Fitzgerald's going to look at his team and say, you know what, guys, we're down two scores in the fourth quarter, so let's pack it in and hope for Iowa next week. That's not going to happen.
I would.
Why?
Why not?
It's college football. Crazy things happen.
Yeah,
you
but you're
always
down,
have a shot.
You're down
That's
three
crazy.
Scores or something like that to Notre Dame. There's bigger prizes that could be out there.
But I think the overall conversation, though, I think is correct with Northwestern because Jonathan makes a good point. We've seen it, especially with Stanford. Stanford, over the last 10 years, has been one of the best college football programs in the entire nation. Mm-hmm. And they have to deal with the same academics that Northwestern has to deal with. You also bring up, Jonathan, that Notre Dame, a highly good academic school where players have to take their academics seriously, okay? Mm-hmm. And I think some people would knock the SEC schools for some of that, too. So you look at Northwestern, and they have an opportunity to be that team that's in that second tier in the Big Ten. They're not going to be Ohio State. They're not going to be Michigan. But they should be on the doorstep, right, with Wisconsin, Iowa, and other teams in the Big Ten, knocking on the doorstep, trying to be the team of the Big Ten. And the fact that Northwestern's never been in a Big Ten championship game, it's crazy. They are a team that I think with the resources that Jonathan pointed out and everything that goes into it, they should be competing for it. And no, Abdallah, you're wrong. They shouldn't pack it in if they're down big to Notre Dame late tonight and hope for Iowa. No, keep fighting. Let's go.
Cardiac
Let's see
cats,
something.
Right?
Yeah, right.
Cardiac
exactly.
Cats.
Come on.
All right.
Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Yeah, we were talking about the Big Ten championships for Northwestern over the years. We're talking about Gary Barnett in 95. We all remember this, right, when he turned the program around. Randy Walker, obviously, in 2000. But it's been since 2000 since Northwestern has won a Big Ten championship. All I'm saying is that even though you go through the history of Northwestern, and it is ugly for sure, from Lou Saban to Alex Agassi to Dennis Green, so many guys that have been coaching this program, the point is that you would think that there has to be a turnaround here. Now, in this contest here against Notre Dame, because they've been so solid, Notre Dame, and especially since they brought Ian Book into the mix, Adam, I'm just thinking that it's going to be an uphill climb. It's one thing to lose against Akron and Duke. It's another to take on really a prolific offense now in Notre Dame.
Northwestern has the 75th rush defense in the country. They're 109th in sacks and tackles for a loss in the country. They have the 20th most efficient defense in the country, though. So they have an efficient defense. It's more of a bend, don't break type of mentality up in Evanston. And I just think that Notre Dame is going to be able to take advantage. And I think they need to take advantage. Because now that we're getting into ranking season, now that we've got into the college football rankings, and every week kind of matters, and teams are going to be jockeying for position, and it's all really just for us to talk about. Like, these college football rankings don't really mean anything. Because eventually, all of college football fans know they're going to play itself out. You've got two SEC schools right now in Bama and LSU. Well, that's going to be determined tonight. Like, that's one of those teams is not going to be in by the end of the night. It's going to take care of itself. So there'll be a new team in there, whether it's Michigan or Oklahoma or someone. So to me, Notre Dame has to take advantage of these mismatches that they can. And I think they need style points. I don't think that a close road win in Northwestern looks good on their resume. I think that they need to go in and take care of business and take care of business handily because they don't have a championship game. And that may matter. You may have a one-loss Michigan team, a one-loss Oklahoma team, and Notre Dame, who you're kind of like, well, who's had the better schedule? Who's had the tougher teams? Who's that? And if you don't have that last championship game to measure them, you need style points. Notre Dame, well, you need to be able to say Notre Dame went into Northwestern and won by 21. Well, they walked in, took care of business, didn't miss a step, and got out of there with a win.
You know what a style point is? Their second half against Vatek.
Mm-hmm.
Style points there. Second half against Stanford, I saw some style points.
Mm-hmm.
Because Notre Dame was fantastic. And I think you're only projecting a situation where Notre Dame's going to need the style points if Alabama loses tonight. Because then people are going to say that Alabama is still better than an undefeated Notre Dame team, even though they just lost. Because that's where the style points come into play, is when you have the spots where you have one-loss teams going against an undefeated Notre Dame team that doesn't have a conference championship game at the end of the season. That's where the style points will matter. If Alabama crushes LSU tonight, style points won't matter because LSU, bye-bye, and Alabama will obviously be in. Clemson, they put up some style points today, 77 points, so they don't need the style points. But Notre Dame's in that conversation with Michigan, Georgia, LSU, Oklahoma, the teams, Wazoo. The teams with one loss, if Notre Dame gets to the end of the season and you have a team like Alabama, which we all assume is by far the best team in college football, mm-hmm. with a loss, that's where you need the style points, because then the argument is undefeated Notre Dame going against an Alabama team that lost a tough game to LSU.
Jonathan, Adam, and Chris with you on Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. We'll give you scoreboards at the top 15, at the bottom at 45, four times an hour. And still to come, Adam Rittenberg, he's there in Evanston, getting ready for Northwestern and Notre Dame. You're listening to Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000.
All of the latest college football scores, previews, and lines. Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000.
WMVP AM ESPN 1000.
This is your home for Chicago's College Tailgate and the home for Fighting Irish football. ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. The CCT scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
Scoreboard, here's Chris Black. Chris.
All right, guys, let's take a look at the top 25 right now. Current action, we have Kentucky and Georgia at the end of the first quarter. Georgia's up 7-0 on Kentucky. Also in the first quarter, West Virginia and Texas. Texas is up 7-3 on West Virginia with 4:36 left in the first quarter. Penn State, Michigan, first quarter action, 2:56 left in the first quarter. Michigan is up 7-0 at this moment. Iowa and Purdue. Purdue's up 14-7 on Iowa with 14:03 left in the second quarter. At the end of the first quarter, Florida State and North Carolina State, 10-0 North Carolina State with the lead. Boston College and Virginia Tech, 7-7 with 4 minutes left in the first quarter. Florida and Missouri in the first quarter, 0-0 with 8:38 left in that one in the first quarter. Utah and Arizona State. Arizona State up early, 7-0 on Utah with 10 minutes left in the first quarter. And also action going on in the Big Ten at this moment. Illinois and Minnesota. Illinois leads 14-7 over the Golden Gophers early in the second quarter. And that's the scoreboard here on Chicago's College Tailgate.
You listen to Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Jonathan, Adam, and Chris with you. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at ESPN 1000 CCT. The big game is tonight, Adam, and I just want to do a wellness check before we go into it now. I want to find out how you feel now. How do you feel about this one? Alabama, your team, number one team in the country. And weird things happen tonight in Death Valley against LSU. How are you feeling about it?
I'm hyped. I mean, I'm excited. Like, it's, look, I'm not, I don't think this is going to be a 14-point game. I think that it's going to be closer than that. Like, the matchups favor Alabama, yes, but it's Death Valley, it's night, it's at Orgeron. I've doubted LSU the entire year, mm-hmm. and it's been a mistake by me, basically. So I'm done doubting LSU. They have legit talent, NFL talent all over the field on defense. Their entire secondary is going to be drafted most likely in the first round of this year's draft and next year's draft. What goes in Alabama's favor, and it is, and I'll admit is a BS call, is that Devin White is going to be out the first half. That wasn't targeting. Like, he shouldn't be out for the first half of the game, but he is. So Alabama is going to use Irv Smith and probably take advantage. He's their big tight end. they're probably going to take advantage of that matchup and try to go up. Here's the stat for me for Alabama.
Okay.
On their opening drives this season, they're 8-for-8 in scoring touchdowns. 4.5 plays per drive, averaging 66.1 yards in a minute and 48 seconds on average. If they can do that in this game, if I'm Alabama, I don't defer. If I win the coin toss, first of all, I elect to kick ass, as as Saban said. Secondly, I will elect to receive the ball and try to quiet that stadium down and go 9-for-9 in touchdown drives this season to open up the game. And then you take the crowd out of it. You take advantage. You go up, you know, a score or two going into halftime. So by the time Devin White comes back, it's not an issue because Tua is a great quarterback. He's going to be the Heisman winner, most likely. He's got the Heisman locked up right now, unless something crazy happens. But you've got, like I said, NFL talent. Greedy Williams is going to be on Jerry Jeudy, the best wide receiver Alabama has, all night. Jerry Jeudy averages 25 yards per catch, and he's got 10 touchdowns. Greedy Williams, lowest completion percentage allowed in college football. It's going to be strength against strength when it comes to that offense against the defense. Now on the other side of the ball is where it's going to be a matchup advantage for Alabama. LSU's not going to be able to run the ball, so it's going to be up to Joe Burrow to see what he can do through the air and whether or not he can take advantage. They're 102nd in yards passing, and they're 92nd in yards per attempt, LSU is, in on offense. So Alabama has the advantage there, but like I said, every college football fan knows what I'm talking about when I say weird stuff happens at night. I've seen top-ranked Alabama teams go in there with Nick Saban and eke out a field goal win in Death Valley and come away happy. I've seen overtime wins. I've seen everything in Death Valley. Ed Orgeron scares the crap out of me tonight because I don't know what he had in his gumbo or what weird voodoo stuff he's doing or whatever he's got. I'm nervous. But it's an excited nervous. Sure. I think Alabama's going to win the game. I'm confident they're going to win the game. I don't think they're going to do it by 14.5. Now, if it comes down to 13.5, I might have to.
All right,
I might have to sprinkle a little of 13.
Okay, let me step in here.
Enough of the hedging.
That's great about that Alabama has. How about this for Alabama's greatness? They've trailed for 3 plays the entire season.
Chris is reclaiming his
3
time now.
Plays.
Yeah, I mean,
reclaiming my time.
What is this, a debate? He gets three.
He's reclaiming his time.
My red light is on, so his light is green.
Yes.
Can I give you a not so fast, my friend, on the woe is me, Alabama at night, Death Valley against gumbo and all this nonsense?
Reclaiming my time.
Get out of here. The Tigers have failed to reach 20 points in each of its last 8 meetings against Alabama. The numbers in their last 8 meetings against the Crimson Tide are horrific offensively for LSU. Points per game in those 8 games, 10.3. Offensive touchdowns in those 8
Roll
games,
Tide.
8. Rushing yards per game in those 8 games, 98.8.
Roll Tide.
Times sacked in those 8 games, 27. And
Roll
like
Tide.
I said, they failed to reach 20 points in the last 8 meetings against Alabama. Abdallah, you did a great job for intrigue and trying to get people to be interested in this matchup and the gumbo and
Roll Tide
and this and that and all that. Woe is me. You have the best damn team in the entire country, and you're going to roll LSU. Please, this game's going to be 17-0 in the first quarter.
Do I get a 30-second rebuttal? Do I get a 30-second rebuttal?
Take that.
As soon as I reset, as you're listening to Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000.
My God.
And the ESPN app, Jonathan Adam and Chris with you. Some thoughts here from Nick Saban as he talks about Tua taking on LSU.
Well, we don't want to put too much pressure on himself. You know, I think, you know, want him to stay calm and have poise and, you know, read the keys and don't try to force plays and take what the defense gives them. And, you know, I think it's really going to be important that the people around him, you know, play well in this game. You know, our offensive line is going to have to do a good job controlling their front. And, you know, they've got good secondary folks. So, you know, the people running routes got to get open. And everybody just got to execute. And that's going to give us the best opportunity against really good competition. And that's what everybody needs to be focusing on.
Some thoughts now from Ed Orgeron, the head coach from LSU.
We're going to go out there. We're going to play the game.
We have to control the line of scrimmage. This is always a big man's game. You guys know that. We got to block their front.
Go Tigers.
We haven't done that the last 2 years. You know, we've got to throw the punches on defense. Now, I'll tell you what, last year I thought we played their run game very well. They beat us in the pass game, which surprised me. This year we're more well-equipped to handle their passing game. We have to stop the run, put pressure on Tua, keep them in the pocket, eliminate the big play. Go Tigers.
We're going to go out there. We're going to play the game. We're going to get the game come to us. We're going to play some defense. They're going to play some defense. We're going to run the ball. We're going to eat some gumbo, right, run the ball some more, get some that too fat. You know how it is. We're going to do it. We're going to run the ball. They're going to get money.
Roll Tide. No dogs.
So I think that when it comes to LSU, let me just say this, and I will give you your 30 seconds because we have Adam Rittenberg standing by before we get to a scoreboard here. I will say this, and Chris is completely right, and we're going to talk you off the ledge by this. Simple. Alabama's averaging 39 points per game in the first half. And again, we're talking about a different animal now because we're at LSU. But here's the key for me watching this game tonight. LSU's secondary is on notice, big time. They've never taken on anything quite like Alabama and the Crimson Tide offense. Think about this. If Alabama was being stopped by the secondary of LSU, say Jerry Jeudy and Jalen Waddle had bad games, there's still Ruggs, there's still Smith, there's still Harris. But point is that Jerry Jeudy can have the worst game this season, and Waddle can have the worst game this season. And the secondary could be up, rising, and getting ready for. But you still got to stop the wave of other receivers, and you also still have to stop the running game of Jacobs and Robinson. So the point is that just, I mean, it's like Noah's Ark. They come at you in waves. They have two of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So even if
it's true.
So even if that's the whole point. If Jeudy has a terrible game, Waddle's a bad game, LSU has won, but yet they've lost because there's so many others that Saban can go to. That's the whole point of it.
My one concern is Tua's knee, him taking a hit because he stands too late in the pocket, which he tends to do.
Hurts can win the game.
So, guys, Hurts hasn't practiced all week.
Hurts didn't practice all last week.
Hurts cold. He didn't practice this week. He's injured as well.
He's fine.
Okay.
I mean, this is basically the equivalent of a Golden State Warriors fan trying to say that there's too many stars on the court. So, you know, who knows if they're going to be able to figure out through the regular season into the playoffs. Too many stars. Too many guys need shots. Durant, Curry, Thompson, you know.
3-1 lead.
I mean, come on. Oh, okay.
I understand Adam's concern. I mean, not fright. I can understand his concern because it's on the road.
Yes.
And weird things do happen.
I think they're going to win.
I agree with that.
Just not by 14.
You painted a picture, though, as if this is an even contest. It's only even because of the strange voodoo that happens in Death Valley at night.
It's the most even Alabama has seen all season. And they haven't faced adversity yet. They've trailed for 3 plays the entire season. They don't know what it's like to be losing in a late game situation. Tua, besides the national championship game, doesn't know what it's like to have to bring his team back. That was national. That's game of the century type stuff. That's it.
Adam Rittenberg standing by, but first the scoreboard.
The CCT scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
Chris Black, Chris.
All right, guys. 9 minutes left in the second quarter. Kentucky and Georgia. Georgia's up 7-0. 3 minutes left in the first quarter. West Virginia's up on Texas 10-7. Michigan and Penn State early in the second quarter. Michigan's up 7-0 on Penn State. Iowa, Purdue. Purdue's up on Iowa, ranked 16th in the country, 14-10 with 10 minutes left in the second quarter. NC State's up big on Florida State, 17-0 with 11 minutes left in the second quarter. Boston College and West Virginia tied at 7 early in the second quarter. Missouri and Florida, 7-3 Missouri with the lead on Florida with 3 minutes left in the first quarter. How about this? Utah, ranked 15th in the country early in the first quarter, 5 minutes left in the first in that one. Arizona State, 13, Utah, nothing. And one other score going on in the Big Ten at this moment, Illinois, Minnesota. Illinois leads 17-14 with 9 minutes left in the second quarter. And that's the scoreboard here on Chicago's College Tailgate.
Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Jonathan, Adam, and Chris with you. The first matchup for Northwestern and Notre Dame at Ryan Field since September of 1976. I remember it well, when Notre Dame beat Northwestern by a score of 48-0. Adam Rittenberg covers college football like a blanket for ESPN, and he joins us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Hello, Adam.
Hello, fellas. How are we doing today?
We're good. I know this. You're in heaven now because here you go. Northwestern against Notre Dame. I mean, just the matchup. I mean, I know you're looking forward to it. What are you looking forward to most seeing the game tonight?
Well, you guys, you're Chicago guys like I am, and I've lived here for about that this is a great college football area. It just is fragmented. And so to have a game like this, a national game, two area programs, there's something on the line for both. There's obviously more on the line for Notre Dame in this particular game, but just the excitement around it is what I'm looking forward to. Probably the biggest game at Northwestern since 2013 when Ohio State came in and College Game Day was on campus. So I've always felt that Chicago's underrated for college football, and a night like this should really bring out the excitement.
How is Northwestern going to keep up with what is probably the biggest test they've faced on defense so far? They've got an offense that isn't very proficient in scoring, and they've got to face probably one of the best defenses in the country.
Well, they did face Michigan, and I think Michigan's probably a comparable defense, maybe even a little better than Notre Dame, and they were up 17-0 in that game before Michigan came back and won by 3. But clearly, Clayton Thorson, this is his moment. You know, this is a guy that entered the season, obviously coming off of a serious injury, but also on the NFL draft radar, and he has not really helped himself a whole lot so far. Now, last week against Wisconsin, he threw those 3 interceptions. If he does that again, Northwestern will have no chance. But he also showed increased mobility, which he hadn't really had all season. So he's able to move around a little bit better, maybe a scramble for some key first downs, maybe a touchdown, and then avoid the turnover. I think Northwestern will be in the game because they have a pretty good defense as well. Been very impressed with their defense in recent weeks. So I think it's a big, big moment for Clayton Thorson, not just for this season and for this night, but for the future, because there'll be a lot of NFL folks watching how he performs against this very talented Irish defense.
Now, Ian Book has been really good for the Fighting Irish, 13 touchdowns, 4 interceptions since he was named the starter. How do you think that Northwestern defense, which you just said is really good, how do you think the Fighting Irish will try and attack them offensively?
Well, I think Northwestern's still a little young in the secondary. Now, Montre Hardis, guys, is, I think, playing at certainly an all-Big Ten level and maybe an All-America caliber level. He's a future NFL cornerback. But other than that, in the secondary, I think there's some spots that they can attack down the field. Miles Boykin clearly is the Ian Book's top target. And that even started in the bowl game last year with a big play to beat LSU, and it's continued since Ian was named the starter. So I would expect offensive coordinator Chip Long to be aggressive in trying to attack Northwestern down the field. And then obviously they're going to mix in the run with Dexter Williams. But Northwestern did a nice job last week, a really nice job against Jonathan Taylor, holding him to his first sub-100-yard game of the season. And they typically do better against the run. So I think it's going to come down to Notre Dame's aggressiveness and ability to stretch that Northwestern secondary, probably throwing away from Montre Hardis.
Adam Rittenberg covers college football for ESPN. He joins us on Chicago's College Tailgate. Jonathan, Adam, and Chris on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Outside of this particular show, no one's more critical of Northwestern than you are. Don't let those people on campus conversation get you down, Adam. We know that you're unbiased.
You know the truth, brother.
Unbiased, yeah. Man. Unbiased when it comes to Northwestern. So answer our question when it comes to Northwestern, because, okay, my thought has always been this, and you and I have talked about this over the years. It's like, if Stanford has been able to do it, if Duke in basketball and obviously in football they've turned the corner as well can do it, don't you think that Northwestern as a program should be further along in contention, not just what's happening this year, but more often under Coach Fitzgerald?
Yeah, I agree with you. And I would say the one thing, and I know it's gotten a lot of attention in the last 5-6 months, is the facilities piece. They were so far behind in facilities. And so even though they were winning at a clip that they've never, at least in the modern era, have not won this consistently, it was very hard to recruit to just garbage facilities. That's obviously changed with the new Fitz Mahal or whatever they're calling it on the lake, and that should continue to help them. But I think it's very important this year because they have an opportunity, and it really has nothing to do with tonight's game, but they have an opportunity to go to the Big Ten Championship game, and that would be the strongest tangible thing that Fitz has accomplished. 10-win seasons are nice. A lot of programs have 10-win seasons nowadays in college football. But if you can win the West Division, and certainly the division's a little down, but they've won the game so far to put themselves in a really good position to win this division and get to Indianapolis, that's something to build on. And then you want to see them there on a more regular basis. I agree. They've been there long enough. Now they have the facilities. They have some 10-win seasons in recent years. They're very close to winning a division title. And then you can continue to build on that and get closer to where Stanford is. I think that's certainly the model, is to be where Stanford is. Stanford's been in the Pac-12 championship game a lot. They've won the championship. They've been in major bowl games quite a bit. So that would be the path for Northwestern.
besides the one game at a time, what has Pat Fitzgerald done with the team to make sure they don't look ahead to Iowa and trying to win and get a chance at that Big Ten championship game?
Well, I think if you're a coach, you want them to embrace this moment. It shouldn't be hard to get up for this game. It's a national game. It's Notre Dame coming in for the first time in forever. And I'm sure Fitz reminded these players that this was the opponent that got Northwestern out of the dark ages. This was the first game of the 95 season when he was a player, and they were that huge underdog going into South Bend. They win the game, and in a sense, the program's never been the same since as far as going back to being a laughing stock nationally. So I think that's an important history lesson. They obviously beat Notre Dame a couple of years ago without a very good team in South Bend. They're a better team this year, so is Notre Dame. So I don't think it should take too much to get them motivated, but there is that factor, as you mentioned. If you're going to win one of these next two, it's a very easy decision. You beat Iowa, because then you're in the Big Ten championship game, and then this game doesn't really matter as far as that goal.
Adam, you've been talking about if they get to the Big Ten championship game, and with all the resources Northwestern has, they could be like a Stanford-type team. If you look at the Big Ten overall, the hierarchy, there are powers in the East. But really in the West, you could argue that they should be at the top of the standings each and every year. Overall, in the Big Ten, where would you place, ideally, Northwestern in the hierarchy with Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, and others? Where would you see Northwestern at their like apex, where they should be?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's still hard, guys. In college football, most of the great programs have been great forever. It's just how it works. And so it's very hard to move up a tier. So they're not going to be Ohio State. They're not going to be Michigan or Penn State. Or, you know, Wisconsin has taken, you know, tremendous steps in the last, you know, 20, 25 years to be a consistent, you know, 9, 10, 11 win program. I don't think Northwestern's quite there. They're on that next level with, you know, Iowa, Michigan State, even though Michigan State historically has been a much better program. So, again, this is an important step. I don't think, guys, this is the Pat's best team. I think they were better in 2012. Arguably, they were better last year. But they're in position because they've won the right game to accomplish something that they haven't done before. And that can be a building block for them going forward.
Catch Adam Rittenberg on the Campus Conversation podcast. Wherever you download your podcast, Adam Rittenberg joins us on Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Could you give us the timeline, Adam, of you going to Maryland to cover the story from the Board of Regents and all the way up to DJ Durkin being fired? What was that day like, the last couple days like for you covering that story?
Well, I went out originally last week because we knew the report was circulating that the Board of Regents had commissioned looking into the Maryland program. We obtained a copy of it. Colleague Heather Dennett and I, we went through it, and we thought there'd be a decision last week. There wasn't a decision, so I came back home, covered the Northwestern-Wisconsin game, was back on a plane on Monday morning, and there wasn't a whole lot that happened Monday. There were meetings that were scheduled. They were canceled. I did see the university president briefly, Wallace Lowe, on Monday. Didn't tell me anything. But then on Tuesday, obviously, it went down with the big Board of Regents messy news conference in Baltimore where they announced their recommendations to bring back Durkin and athletic director Damon Evans. And Wallace Lowe is up there reluctantly bringing back T.J. Durkin. And then the next day, I started the day in Maryland on campus talking to the student body president about all the outrage. And then I get on a plane, come back to trick-or-treat with my kids. I'm passing out candy at the door, and then I get a text. He's just been fired. And then, obviously, the night changed, as you can imagine.
It seemed obvious that should have happened, and it finally happened. So we'll see what happens with the Maryland program moving forward here. Adam, as always, we appreciate it. We're looking forward to the game tonight, Notre Dame-Northwestern. I know you don't have a pick, but we have our picks later on. So it's going to be interesting.
All right. Looking forward to hearing them, guys. Any of you guys going to be there tonight? I'm about 10 minutes away from the field.
Big screen.
You're watching Georgia, just admit it.
Also the Alabama LSU game.
Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, fellas.
It is Adam Rittenberg with us here on ESPN 1000 and ESPN. Yeah, we are actually keeping our eyes on Georgia for sure. Georgia up 7-3 on Kentucky. Some thoughts here now from Brian Kelly, the head coach for the Fighting Irish. His thoughts on Northwestern.
They're stingy on defense. Really good front four. Make it difficult to run the football. Very opportunistic. I think Fitz does a great job of keeping his football team in the moment. You know, they never feel like they're out of any game. regardless of who the competition is, they're always going to be there, and they find ways to win football games. I think the one thing that people have to understand about this team is they're 12-1 in their last 13 Big Ten games. And so, you know, anytime you have that kind of success over a long period of time, your team believes they're going to win football games. And I think he's done a great job with that.
Interesting. No furniture in his office. As we go now to Brian Kelly from the Brian Kelly Show, his thoughts on the keys to victory against Northwestern.
Well, for us, I mean, hold on to the football. If you watch that game a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. we fumbled on the goal line and we fumbled it. You know, we were trying to run out the clock. So, you know, for us, offensively, it's always take care of the football. We're going to move the football. We're going to be able to find ways to score points. But it's turnovers, right? And take care of the football. Wisconsin turned the football over last week against Northwestern. If we take care of the football, and then we have to eliminate, and we've been great at this. I think we're seventh in the country in terms of plays per pass attempt. We can't give up the big play pass, and they are really good at it. They push the ball vertically down the field. So if we don't give up the big play pass and we take care of the football, we're in pretty good shape on Saturday.
The CCT scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
Time for a scoreboard. Here's Chris Black. Chris.
And Jonathan, one note to pass along that isn't college football related. The Bears have placed three-time Pro Bowler right guard Kyle Long on injured reserve due to a right foot injury the team announced today. So Kyle Long will be on IR.
So that would probably be the end, maybe late in the season. If it's IR and it's November,
yeah,
maybe we won't see him.
Yeah, there's a strong possibility, so playoffs. Just want to pass that along as you're getting ready for the Bills and the Bears tomorrow. Here's the top 25 scoreboard in college football. Georgia leads upset bird for that. Yeah,
he could be for Claire. He could be reactivated right before the final game of the season against Minnesota.
So Georgia leads 7-3 on Kentucky with 2:55 left in the second quarter. At the end of one, Texas is up 14-10 on West Virginia. Michigan, Penn State, this is a good game early. 9:27 left in the second quarter. Michigan's up 7-0 on Penn State. Other scores taking place in the top 25 right now. Purdue's up big, 21-10 on Iowa with 4:50 left in the second quarter. NC State's up 20-7 on Florida State with 5 minutes left in the second quarter. Virginia Tech's up 14-7 on number 22 ranked Boston College, 14-7 right now, 10 minutes left in the second quarter. Florida losing to Missouri, 7-3 early in the second. Arizona State up on Utah, 14-7 at the end of the first quarter. Wow. And one other score going on in the Big Ten, unranked teams, Illinois and Minnesota. Illinois leads 24-14 with 5:31 left in the second quarter.
The bird is busy tonight.
Hot.
He is busy.
Hot, getting active.
Yeah, a lot of upsets.
Yeah, there's a lot of scores right now that are not in favor of the favorite.
Are you okay, Adam? You got any in-game advice?
Illinois is going to lose this game, right?
All of the latest college football scores, previews, and lines. Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000. Chicago's College Tailgate.
The playoff predictor. Sure, it's a guess, but it's as educated of a guess as there can be.
Because when it comes to deciding the four teams in the playoff, everything matters.
In a game of hypotheticals.
Who's in?
Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app, along with Adam Abdallah and Chris Black, John Hood with you. Follow us on Twitter at ESPN 1000 CCT for Chicago's College Tailgate. There you can watch the live press conference of Dabo Sweeney with a red face after Clemson beat Louisville 77-16.
Not enough.
I love these coaches that run up the score, beat down a team, and then are embarrassed by it. Don't be embarrassed by it. You schedule them, beat them. That's it. Mm-hmm. Don't have a red face about it, Dabo.
Enjoy Boston College next week.
Who, Clemson?
Yeah.
Oh,
I think they will.
Let's go now to Chris Black with the playoff predictor.
All right, guys, since we're in...
Or we can go to the Adam Abdallah Show. What do you got there?
What do you
got cooking?
What do you got, Abdallah?
What do you got cooking?
You got something over there?
You got some on Boston College? Give us an early teaser.
Plucky.
Well, say it into the mic next time so the audience can hear what you're saying.
They heard me.
All right, guys, since it's week 10 and we have our first ranking for the college football playoff, this is where it gets good because now we have the actual rankings in front of us that we can break down and debate. Mm-hmm. So obviously from Tuesday, we know it's Alabama, Clemson, LSU, Notre Dame. The fifth team is Michigan. Georgia is sixth. That is what the committee has given us in the first set of rankings heading into week 10 of the season. So if I take a look at this, the only thing that I would kind of point out is, as we know, with tonight's matchup in Death Valley, Alabama and LSU, that we know that one of these teams is going to lose. The only team that could lose tonight and I think get bounced from the top six would be LSU, because I still think if Alabama loses this game and it's close, they will be in the top four for next week's second round of playoff predictions.
What if Notre Dame loses?
Well, Notre Dame, obviously, if they lose, yeah, they could be bounced. Same with Michigan. If they lose to Penn State, they could be bounced as well. Georgia right now beating Kentucky. But I think if you look specifically at Alabama-LSU, Alabama loses, they could still be in. LSU loses, they're going to be out.
I think that the you're going to have to make a case then for next week's rankings after one of those teams loses. Who gets moved in? Is it one loss Michigan? Is it one loss Oklahoma? Is it Washington State? Who gets that next? Do you just automatically slot everyone up now that they've all, now that after LSU loses or if Notre Dame loses or if Alabama loses, does everyone just automatically move one up?
We go back to asking the question, what is the best one-loss team out there? Alabama and Clemson are locked in. Notre Dame more than likely will beat Northwestern today, so that's three. So what's the best one-loss team has the best resume? And if LSU, and I think they will lose, isn't the next team Georgia or Michigan?
Yeah, that's the conversation. And if you look at strength of schedule, Michigan's is 24th in the country, Georgia 26th. So they're pretty even. I think today, the better team, if they both win, if both Michigan and Georgia win, I think Georgia's win would be more impressive than Michigan's. Georgia's over Kentucky and Michigan's over Penn State. I think Kentucky is a better team than Penn State.
Well, just based off rankings, if you look at it, Kentucky's the ninth team in the country. Penn State's the 14th team.
Eyeball
in the
test too. Kentucky has been very impressive this year.
Absolutely, no, and they're both. Kentucky, the Georgia win would be on the road, too. Yes. So, and Michigan's would be at home.
So, Jonathan, to answer your question, I would actually give it for next week. If LSU loses, I would put Georgia back into the top four.
I think that's fair. Now Michigan fans are going to be mad saying, now, where's ours? Because I think they're going to beat Penn State today. They're going to be upset, but it's like, you know what? You lost against Notre Dame early, and now you start to put value on that loss.
Yeah. To be fair to Michigan fans, right?
Right.
This will all work itself out. Because if Georgia moves into that fourth spot, Alabama will play Georgia in the SEC championship game, which will give Michigan a chance to win their championship game and move into that fourth spot.
Michigan will get their day.
Yeah.
Because they will play Ohio State, and if they are better, they will beat them, and then they will win the Big Ten. And then, like Abdallah's suggesting, Georgia will find a way to lose in the SEC championship game.
I'm just saying, this will all work itself out, is what I'm saying.
Exactly. For one week, they may surpass them for one week, but Michigan still is right there.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. And the big maybe is what you guys mentioned, the Ohio State game. Mm-hmm. Now, Ohio State seems like they've taken their foot off the gas for whatever reason. I didn't like the way they played. Hopefully, they understand the enormity of you got a game here. Let's see Ohio State's schedule here. Ohio State, in their schedule, they're now 8-1 after the victory against Nebraska, 36-31 today. Michigan State, plucky. Then there's Maryland, and then there's Michigan on the 24th. Okay, so there could be a two-loss Michigan team here before we are at the end of the regular season.
You said taking the foot off the gas for Ohio State. Remember the conversation we had last week about Paul Feinbaum suggesting that Urban Meyer may want to leave the program after this season? Mm-hmm. I wonder how much of that is circulating around the program, and the players are kind of with one eye maybe on a transfer in the future because they know that Urban Meyer might be leaving.
Well, they beat Nebraska 36-31, so the bye week didn't help their defensive issues. And I think that comes down to these reports have been circulating, and now players are starting to wonder, well, if he's quit on us,
have we quit on him?
Adam, there was two bye weeks. There was this week and last week for Ohio State. This should have been a bye week against
Scott
Nebraska.
Scott Frost in Nebraska should not be only down by five in the fourth.
I watched a lot of that game. I was very disappointed in Ohio State for not being able to just, because at this point, it's about style points, right?
Mm-hmm.
You should be a lot better offensively than what we saw there.
Well, which makes me believe that if Michigan and Ohio State, that game, Michigan's going to win that
game. Well, right, because one program is playing their best football this season, and the other is clearly not.
Yeah.
You think. It's a tough one. because you know you throw out the records, right?
Yeah.
Michigan, Ohio State. I would favor Michigan in that spot, but you don't know.
Okay, three other teams we did not mention with the playoff predictor as we wrap up this segment. Wazoo, Washington State, a one-loss team. We also have a one-loss team in Oklahoma.
Well, we already talked about that.
Again, you guys want to ignore a undefeated returning champ in UCF.
Bro, listen to me. They gave up 40 to Temple. Get out of here with that UCF trash. I've been waiting for someone to bring them up. Get out of here with that UCF. They shouldn't be in the top 25 this week. You gave up 40 to Temple. Get out.
Andrea's going to cut you.
All of the latest college football scores, previews, and lines. Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000. Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. The CCT Scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
Time for a CCT Scoreboard here at the top of the hour here on Chicago's College Tailgate. We've got Ralph Michael standing by with the latest on some of the numbers we should look at for gambling purposes for the night games of college football. But first, here's Chris Black. Chris?
All right, Jonathan, with 15 seconds left in the second quarter, Georgia's up on Kentucky 14-3. Second quarter play between West Virginia and Texas. West Virginia's up 17-14 with 10 minutes left in the second quarter. Michigan's up 14-0 on Penn State with 4:07 left in the second. Iowa and Purdue. Iowa's been trailing the entire first half, 12 seconds left in the first half, and Purdue's up 21-16 on the Hawkeyes. North Carolina State up 27-7 on Florida State with 1 minute left in the half. Virginia Tech up 14-7 on Boston College. How about that? 2 minutes left in the second quarter. Missouri up 14-3 on Florida, the 11th ranked team in the country. Wow. Missouri up 14-3 with 11 minutes left in the second quarter. How about this? You got the upset bird ready, Jonathan? Arizona State 14, Utah 10. 12 Go minutes Tigers. Left in the second quarter in that one. One other game of note. In the Big Ten right now, Illinois and Minnesota. Illinois leads 24-14 over the Golden Gophers with 30 seconds left in the second quarter. And that's the scoreboard right now on Chicago's College Tailgate.
I asked Howard Griffith. I said, hey, man, can you find me four more wins for Illinois? He goes, nope, I can only give you three. Maybe a fourth one's coming.
Row the boat, right?
By the way, every single week now, our show is sponsored by Four Winds Casino South Bend. Escape the everyday. Speaking of Four Winds Casino South Bend, we'll be broadcasting live from Four Winds Casino South Bend next Saturday. We'll be out of the studio and we'll be there next Saturday, right before Notre Dame takes on Florida State. Chris, it's always a great time. I've been there. I think now it's going to be my sixth or seventh time. Pretty much brand new facility, just great amenities, especially when it comes to food and gambling. It's all there for you at Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape.
Yeah, brand new. We were there for the opening weekend of college football. We'll be back next weekend. It'll be outstanding. Plus, there are TVs everywhere. You can watch all the games. The food's great, and also they have beer, which is fantastic as well. So
it is an important point, too. Of
yeah, for sure. So they have it all. And also, I've convinced...
Tasty shots.
I've convinced... Yeah, we did the shot ski when we were there. Yes. Yeah. Jonathan, I've convinced Adam to go with me early so we can gamble before the show.
I enjoy doing the shot ski. I'm not even Polish. But we really had a really good time there, Adam, at the Four Winds Casino in South Bend.
Yeah, I've been promoting it all week that they have a very tasty burger. I had that burger come hang out at Kankakee Grill, which is where we're going to be broadcasting from. Mm-hmm. Great burger, great gambling. Like Chris said, the TVs are everywhere. They'll have every game on that you want to see. And if not, just be like, hey, could you? You don't have to work that hard to convince me to put on a game that you want to see. It's true. Like, I got a little something on that game. Can I watch it? Of course. Let's do this. I'll live bet it with you. Let's go.
Very accommodating. Again, November 10th, we'll be there. Chicago College Tailgate on the road. November 10th, we'll be there before Notre Dame and Florida State right here on ESPN 1000. We turn to our guy from WagerTalk.com. Ralph Michaels is with us here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Go to WagerTalk.com. Ralph will hook you up as we get ready for some of the night action in college football. Ralph, Jonathan, Adam, and Chris, thanks so much for your time.
Hey, guys, I was listening to that scoreboard report, and I didn't hear the UTEP Rice score.
It was top 25, Ralph. Top 25.
Well, you know, UTEP is up 27-3. That'll snap a 20-game losing streak for the Miners.
Now, listen here. Now, you laugh, and I don't know why these guys are laughing. They know that I've been riding with UTEP for the last 4 weeks and won the last 4 weeks. Now, could you tell me that the game is that in the first half or second half?
It's at half right now, 27-3.
Okay. All right, good. I had the over. So, but this is going to be great. They'll be able to unlock the Bud Light cans, so people will be able to drink Bud Light if they're able to win this one against Rice. That was a 1-point advantage for UTEP, right? Weren't they favored by one?
You know, the game swung. UTEP was a 1-point favorite. Rice got money, made them the favorite, and it ended up closing with UTEP the favorite again. Tough to lay points with either one, so the game basically a pick 'em all week. Was truly the right line.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you guys know I've been riding with UTEP the last few weeks. So look, I'm looking forward to a victory for them. Okay, so we're looking forward to the night matchups here, Ralph. I'll start with Alabama and LSU. What stands out about this matchup, and where are the sharps going?
You know, it's pretty split. It's rare to have the sharps on both sides of a game, but this game can lend that theory because. You don't know how good Alabama is. They've been historic good on offense and defense. Their yards per game diff is the best in the country. But to me, you look at what the schedules they faced. Alabama has faced only two top 50 opponents. LSU has faced five top 30 foes. You look at LSU and who they faced on the road. Louisville, number 110 defense. That's a defense with efficiency ranking built in. Mississippi, number 113. Arkansas, number 80. So the best team Bama has faced on the road is a defense of number 53, Tennessee. Oh, yeah, LSU is number 7. Then you look at LSU at home. In the last 7 years, they've only been a home dog of 3 points or more 6 times. In those 6 times, they only didn't cover twice. Once was a 7-point loss to Bama. Once was a 10-point loss to Bama. Well, they would cover it with this spread. And then the last 67 home games for the LSU Tigers, they've only lost one of those games by over 10 points. I am on the Tigers this week. But again, Alabama's one of those historic teams. If they win by 20, does it shock me? No. But I think there's value when you have LSU at home, Death Valley, nighttime, sellout, CBS crowd. It is my strongest home field edge in all of college football, only matched by a whiteout at Penn State.
Ralph, since we're talking about home crowd and advantage when it comes to gambling, how do you view Northwestern? A big game here in town against Notre Dame tonight. Usually what we talk about on the show is we expect this to be a 70% crowd in favor of Notre Dame. How do you view this one when it comes to gambling?
Well, I'm hoping the Northwestern Wildcats fans are in attendance. And when they have some of these big night games, they have been. Obviously, the Irish fans are going to get their tickets. But, you know, I think Northwestern, it's a lot like Michigan State and Michigan. It's us against the big guys. It's the guys that are ranked. You look at Northwestern this year, the underdog is 9-0 ATS in Northwestern games. And that's Northwestern's mode in the past few years. As a dog, they rally. As a favorite, they tend to play down to the level of their competition. Northwestern, a lot of teams struggle after pulling an upset. Not them. They're 17-6-1 against the spread off a straight-up win as a dog. They got the upset against Wisconsin last week. And now I look at Notre Dame. Notre Dame is only 1-8 against the spread as an away favorite of 3 or more against Big Ten teams. Brian Kelly and the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Only 3-14 against the spread in November the last 4 years. And three of those last 4 years, the Irish have been a top five team. Yet in any of the last 4 years, they have not finished as a top 10 team. They tend to fade down the stretch. And lastly, Notre Dame is 3-11 against the spread after facing Navy. It takes a lot of mental attitude to play that midshipman option. The offensive line gets chop blocked. The defense has to struggle playing a different type of defense. And again, it's tough to play the next week, especially against an opponent like Thorson, who's going to throw the ball probably 75% of the time.
Tonight, another matchup, Oklahoma and Texas Tech. Oklahoma can't stop anybody. Texas Tech can't stop anybody. I love betting ridiculous over-under totals. This one's at 79. Can this one go over the number?
Well, what do you think history has done the last 4 years with those totals? Since 2015, so we've got 3.5 years, almost 4 years of data. When a total is 77 or higher, they are 34-23-1, 60% to the over. So don't be afraid to play the big overs. Sometimes Vegas can't make a number too high or too low. You get to that point and they think, well, this is getting to be close to a historic number. We'll stop it here. And people are afraid to bet those big numbers. But the way the defense have been playing, the way the offenses have been playing, I still think there's value with this over. The last seven have gone over the total. Oklahoma just put up 702 yards against Kansas State. The only thing that concerns me on the higher scoring game is since they jettisoned Stoops as the defensive quarter and brought in Ruffin McNeil. Ruffin McNeil really is a player's coach. Players love him, rally around him. They allowed 245 yards against Kansas State and 275 yards against TCU. So we'll see if that's playing bad offenses or if Ruffin McNeil really has that made that much of a difference.
WagerTalk.com's Ralph Michaels with us on Chicago's College Tailgate with Jonathan, Adam, and Chris on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Chris, can I ask about a question about your team?
Yeah, please do.
Okay, so USC, Oregon State, because I'm going to make a play on that tonight. But I want to get Ralph's thoughts before I pull the trigger. Ralph, with USC on the road, JT Daniels is back, and there's going to be trouble. It's not going to be the freshman Sears. It's going to be JT Daniels at the quarterback for the Trojans. What are your expectations for this matchup?
Well, it's USC away from home, so that's enough not to scare me. On the road, no matter who the quarterback is, he was the quarterback at Stanford. They scored 3 points. He was the quarterback at Texas. They scored 14 points. He was the quarterback at Arizona. They only scored 24 points. So now you're double-digit favorites on the road. You're off two straight losses. Yes, Daniels is back. But Daniels has an 8-7 ratio on the year. Daniels has only completed 57%. I like the way this Oregon State team has been building. Jonathan Smith in his first year. Yes, they've only have 2 wins. One was against Southern Utah and one was against Colorado last week. But even the losses, even though those losses seem high and their defense has given up 500 or more yards for 5 straight weeks, I think they can run the ball enough to keep this game close. Again, it's not one of my top plays either way. I think it's going to be a lower scoring game. And anytime I lean with a lower scoring game, I'm going to jump on a double-digit home dog.
What do you think, Chris? Is that the way you're leaning to?
Yeah, I agree. As a USC fan, I think this is going to be a tough spot. And I think from everything that came out throughout the week about Clay Helton and the way that there's dysfunction within the coaching staff and with the players and the players not wanting to, like, there's a whole thing going on there at SC. I agree with Ralph, this being closer. And I could even see Oregon State winning and thus it being a really tough week next week for Clay Helton.
That very well could happen.
Yeah, well, how many – USC has been the most underachieving team the last 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
They have a top 5 recruiting class every year, and what they do is just amazing. Yes, they win their games at home, and they had won 18 or 19 straight before that Arizona State loss, and that was, again, without JT Daniels. But this is USC on the year. It's the USC Trojans, and they're averaging 3.8 yards per carry and only 18 first downs. With the talent they have, that's just baffling to me.
Yeah, it's pathetic.
Another thing I like to do besides betting ridiculous totals is I like betting on Mike Leach. Is Wazoo more than a touchdown better than Cal?
Yes. In my mind, they certainly
are. Too convincing. Come on.
Come on, Ralph.
It's what do the numbers say, Ralph? Give it to us.
It's not on Ralph's board.
You know, it's just a very tough spot to be in. You're talking about in the last 5 weeks, you went to USC, you almost won. You knocked off Utah at home. You went to Oregon State, you did what you're supposed to do. You knock off Oregon at home as a home dog in the biggest game ever in Pullman with ESPN game day there. Then you get a Stanford and you knock them off as well. How many of those situations can you get yourself up for? So to me, yes, Washington State is better than a touchdown, but now you're in the situation where for three of the last 4 weeks, you can say, we are not getting respected. We are the underdog. We are this good, but people aren't giving us credit. Now to turn it around to be the favorite, that's what scares me. Cal's improving, and Mike Leach, you know, you just see sometimes the offense just disappear and weird things happen, and whenever you don't expect something from Washington State, it occurs, like when you're a seven-point favorite and you're playing a team that you should beat at home and you're off a couple of huge upsets, you lay a clinker. So I just, with that situation, I can't back the Cougars.
Ralph, one more late night 9:30 start. Fresno State. I see Fresno State as they're 7-1 against the spread, but they are a huge favorite tonight on the road against UNLV. How do you see this playing out?
There is no team that has been more profitable than Fresno State the last 2 years. They are 17-3-2 against the spread. So to me, there's only one way to play this. If you want to play Fresno State, great. If you want to play UNLV, don't be stupid and give your money away. You know, UNLV's defense has been horrific. They've allowed almost 560 yards per game in their last four games. Armani Rogers is back, and UNLV was a respectable, perhaps bowl-eligible team with him, but they're not going to start Armani Rogers. They want to make sure he's 100% healthy. So they're still going to stick with their pass game with Max Gillum. When Rogers is there, it gives them a dual threat. They slow the clock. They move the chains. Rogers can rush the ball. Rogers had 488 yards and only five starts, almost 100 yards a game. But they pass the ball. That gives Fresno State more time. And Fresno State's defense, you want to talk about numbers. Allowing 3.4 yards on defense is probably as impressive as any team. But how about if I tell you they're allowing 48.8% completions on defense, under 50% in the pass-happy Mountain West? Gillum's going to pass the ball. Fresno State knows how to stop the pass. This defense is legit. They are the best group of five team. Very well can be to a New Year's Day bowl. And if you haven't watched the interception on their loss, they went to Minnesota, game number two, and Minnesota's DB, with a minute left to go in the game, made one of the most spectacular interceptions you'll ever see, or else Fresno State would be undefeated right now. Again, I'm either on the Bulldogs or pass.
All right, tell us what we can go see. If we go to wagertalk.com, what will we find?
You know what? If you go to wagertalk.com and then go to the handicappers page and go to the Cal Sports page, you're going to see I do a ton of free content. I do a weekly college football newsletter called the Gridiron Guide. I do a daily NBA stat sheet. I do a weekly NBA sheet as well. And right now, for you college basketball fans, college basketball is my specialty. It's what I've been known for. I've had multiple handicapping championships the 30-plus years I've been doing it. There's a 70-page guide for free. It's going to give you returning starters on all 353 teams. It's going to give you a bio on all 55 new head coaches this year. It's going to have rankings from three different sources in the conference and from 1 to 153. You do have to register the first time you go in. It is a product. You'll have to put it in the checkout box. Register once. But once you register, no credit card needed, no cost. You can then download each of those products each week with your register code.
As always, Ralph, we appreciate your time here at Chicago. Thanks for coming on the show.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
It is Ralph Michaels with us here on Chicago's College Tailgate, a regular on the program, really breaking it down. What I was going to say is I was just very surprised as we go to a scoreboard.
The CCT scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
I'm just surprised that you didn't ask him about Hawaii, the late night creep.
I was interested in a different game tonight, Jonathan, and that's why I brought up Fresno and UNLV. And when we get to our Saturday night specials, unfortunately, I may have to change my pick after Ralph told me not to be stupid and bet against Fresno State. Uh-oh. So So we'll have to maybe adjust some things during the commercial break.
Already locked it in.
All right, guys, let's take a look at the top 25 scoreboard, and we might need the upset alert handy because it's been that type of an afternoon in the 2:30 kicks. Georgia, though, is up 14-3 at halftime on Kentucky. How about Texas and West Virginia? West Virginia is up 3, 24-21. On the Longhorns, they are playing in the second quarter. Michigan and Penn State at halftime. Michigan leads 14-0. Let's have another halftime score. Iowa down against Purdue, 21-17 at the half. NC State at halftime up on Florida State, 27-14. Virginia Tech, 14-7 on Boston College at halftime. Florida and Missouri. 4 minutes left in the second quarter. Missouri's up 21-3 on the Gators.
Tough tight ends. I know that as a Georgia fan.
How about that? 2 minutes left in the second quarter. Utah and Arizona State. Utah finally with the lead. They've been down most of this half. It's now 17-14. Arizona State with the ball, but 2 minutes left to go in the half there. And one other score going on in the Big Ten to keep note at halftime. Illinois, they are up 24-17 on Minnesota. And that's the top 25 scoreboard on Chicago's College Tailgate.
Glad that you're with us here on Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Jonathan, Adam, and Chris with you. Follow us on Twitter at ESPN 1000 CCT. Some thoughts from Ed Orgeron, the head coach for LSU, as we get ready for LSU in Alabama. Ed Orgeron talking about how the team is really motivated.
I thought we could have played on Monday. And, you know, some teams, it's not like that. You got to motivate them and you don't feel the energy. But the energy within our team has been fantastic all week. I let them go the way they want to go. I know when I have to fire my team up and when I don't have to fire my team up. I haven't had to do it yet this week.
We're going to go out there. We're going to play the game. We're going to get the game come to us. We're going to play some defense. They're going to play some defense. We're going to run the ball. We're going to eat some gumbo, run the ball some more, get some that too fat. You know how it is. We're going to do it. We're going to run the ball. Go Dawgs.
Go Tigers.
Why does it sound like it hurts when Ed Orgeron talks?
It's a lot of coaching.
Yeah, man.
It just sounds painful to him.
No, that's the joy of his life. Is getting players ready to fight in a football game.
By the way, amongst our, as you hear from the upset bird again, Illinois, you mentioned, right?
Yes.
The score right now with Lovie is what now?
It's halftime, 24-17 on Minnesota.
Lovie Smith, 10-win beard, 3-win coach.
Now, we may have to do away with that if there's a victory for Lovie and Illinois.
A lot of time left.
Yep. A lot of time left.
However, Adam, what about this? If there's a fourth victory, we should put on the poll. Extension for Lovie? Fourth victory?
Lovie Smith, 10-win beard, 3-win coach.
I will tell you this, as far as in-game betting goes, if you want to get a little frisky, Minnesota is still -125 to win this game.
They're the favorite to win
They're still the favorite to win this game. So Vegas or your online gambling site still thinks that Minnesota is going to find a way to win this game.
Do you have the line there for Missouri-Florida? Because Florida is down by 18 points at the moment in the first half.
That's a no. That's not available for live betting.
All right.
Oh, yes, it is. Florida's +11.5 right now.
So do you see a big comeback from the Gators?
They're +390 on the money line.
Well, I mean, that's a lopsided game early.
There's no question about that. I'm looking at some of these lines myself. I'm still just taken aback by Ralph Michaels' thoughts about Fresno State at UNLV. Some things have changed here. We have to be able to do an about-face here on the Bovada. So Nick Saban, his thoughts about how LSU is just a different team.
They're a completely different team now, and I don't think this team's like any LSU team we've played in recent years in terms of, you know, what they're doing on offense. They're going fastball. I mean, they're playing with tempo. They're a lot more open formations than what they have been in the past. They're not in the I formation, just trying to run the ball against people, creating a lot more issues and problems for you, the way they utilize the personnel. So this team is nothing like any team that we've ever played before at LSU.
So the thoughts there from Nick Saban. By the way, we talked earlier to Adam Rittenberg regarding what happened in Maryland here this week, which is a big college football story. The latest out of there is the University of Maryland Police Department has opened an investigation into an altercation between two football players that occurred at the end of Tuesday's practice. Police said in the statement Thursday that an athletics department employee alerted an officer who was at Maryland's practice at the time of the fight. But of course, the bigger news was DJ Durkin being fired. You know, sometimes, as my grandmother used to say, you know, sometimes common sense is not common. It's pretty clear that if there is a dead player on your watch, then maybe no matter if the coach is in the vicinity, if he's in the city, it's still his program. It's still his program. And to me, the idea that the Board of Regents looked at DJ Durk and said, well, no, you're fine. It took Wallace Lowe, the president of the school, to be like, no, there is a dead player on our watch. And here's the thing, Chris, you don't need to have people rallying against you, media against you, government officials against you. It's pretty clear there's a dead player on your watch. You just, and just like most coaches, you just move the drill. Doesn't matter if the guy is exhausted. Doesn't matter if he needs water. Just move the drill because that kid's not important. Clearly, the Board of Regents also thought he was just a slab of meat, not important enough to be able to try to bring the coach back. It's just a good move by Maryland, but maybe too little too late. But Durkin should have been out immediately after they had their investigation.
Yeah, Jordan McNair, he passed away June 13th. And I think what is so strange to me about this whole situation, the timeline, was that after that happened, it wasn't the only thing to come out. We have also heard of issues within the program based on language used from coaches to players and intimidation factors that they use to try and motivate and other things that happen within the culture of the program, which would suggest it's toxic. So I would say, yes, the death of a player is horrendous, and he shouldn't have been brought back from that to begin with. But then if you look at it, an overarching viewpoint of the program, that it was a toxic culture to begin with, so why would he even be welcomed back at any point? It just seems like a complete botched situation from start to finish based on the information that was brought out in the entire case, not just the one situation where unfortunately someone passed away.
Well, and then what that led to is him being reinstated, players walking out during a meeting, and then those players allegedly having an altercation at the end of practice where one player was basically was beaten up by two other players, allegedly.
Pretty much saying, like, why did you trick off on the coach?
Yeah, why are you a whistleblower, all that kind of thing. So if you're going to set it, so you not only did you make the wrong decision into reinstating him, but then you created a whole nother issue within the program because some of the players were with him and some players were against him, and then you knew that those players were going to have issues with each other in the locker room. It should have been just handled with. It should have been dealt with. They should have never brought him back.
It just seems pretty obvious. It's a dead player on your watch, mm-hmm. and the lack of institutional control with that program, that means that you have to make a change. And so now my whole perspective on Maryland football and the Maryland school is somebody in that school, several people with shirts and ties, believes that, no, this is okay, bring the coach back. Well, you know, again, we know what college football is, guys. It's about wins and losses. It's about coaches. It's about how much money you can get. It's DJ Durkin. It's DJ Durkin.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it would be acceptable if it was Saban or Urban Meyer, but I'm just saying, like, you're trying to hold on to this guy with a dead player on his watch in the program.
Jonathan, you hit it right on the head because the thing to point out is, even though it's not right, I think we can all get to a place where we understand someone's thought process, even though it's not our thought process, to why something would be covered up for a legendary coach, Joe Pa. Right. Like, yep. I can understand why someone would look and view Joe Paterno and be like, well, we can't mess up this legacy. Right.
Because of money.
Because of money and everything else mm-hmm. that goes with it. DJ Durkin. What has this guy ever done? So, like, why are you going to bat and protecting him of all coaches across this country? It's not like there's other schools just clamoring to have him coach their team and they haven't won anything in Maryland. Most people don't even know that Maryland's in the Big Ten. Right. So, yeah. so I, even though we disagree with the thought process, I can at least get to a point where I understand why someone like Urban Meyer would cover up, or people would cover up around Urban Meyer to protect a coach on his staff, because it's the great Urban Meyer. This is DJ Durkin. He's never done anything.
Well, and now you have a situation where you had guys playing for each other. Now there's infighting. Now the team is even more of a mess because decisions were made poorly to bring this guy back. When ultimately it took a government official to say, what are you doing? Like, are you guys ridiculous? Like, you can't bring this guy back. And they did. And now the team's messed up. And now Maryland. Now, how are you going to go out? How can, just think about it. How can someone think that DJ Durkin could go into someone's home and recruit and say, I'm going to keep your kid safe during football activities,
right,
during games, during practices, during this? How can you allow someone like that to go in to people's houses and represent your university and try to bring people to your university? You can't.
It's amazing. And now that sets the Maryland program back even more so after this death and also the infighting that's happening with that program. All right, we've got a CCT scoreboard, and then we'll have our Saturday night specials. It's all part of the mix right here on Chicago's College Tailgate.
You love college football? You've come to the right place. Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. All of the latest college football scores, previews, and lines. You love college football? Tailgate with us, along with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah. Here's Jonathan Hood, the CCT scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
We have your Saturday night specials right around the corner, but first, here's the CCT scoreboard with Chris Black. Chris?
Ah, Jonathan, your Georgia Bulldogs, they're fine. 10 minutes left in the third quarter. They're up 21-3. How about that?
Well, thank you for for consoling me, but yeah. I had no problem with this team.
Not worried about the Wildcats from Kentucky?
No.
All right.
Well, right, Adam? Am I right about that?
Yeah, I mean, Kentucky's got a decent defense, but that's about it.
I mean, all right, so you'll be in the college football playoff next week.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And we'll be in the SEC title game.
There you go.
Without any problems.
Yeah, see, everything's good.
Looking forward to it.
All right. More scores in the top 20. I just want to make you feel good. 21-3.
Yeah, it just, you know, even though I'm a Snell fan, it's just funny. It's just funny because Kentucky fans, John Calipari rolled out there on the SEC network. Oh, you know, it's not just a basketball school.
Yeah,
yes,
sure.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
Yes, you are.
Mm-hmm. All right. Other scores in the top 25. Just trying to make you feel good about Georgia.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Right. 1 minute left in the second quarter in the first half for Texas and West Virginia. Texas is up now 28-24. On the Mountaineers. Halftime, Michigan and Penn State. Michigan's up 14-0. Purdue and Iowa. Purdue's up 28-17 on Iowa with 12 minutes left in the third quarter. North Carolina State and Florida State. North Carolina State with 13 minutes left in the third, up 27-14. Halftime, Boston College and West and Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech's up 14-7 on Boston College.
Adam gets my jokes, but there's always a delayed reaction. You notice that?
Yeah. Well, Adam, even though he's sitting in the studio with us, he's on tape delay.
All I was saying is that Purdue is waving goodbye to Iowa right now.
Oh, man. Halftime, Missouri and Florida. How about this? Missouri's up 21-10 on Florida at the half. Also,
hey,
at
Missouri's
the half.
Whoa. How about this? Missouri's a tough SEC opponent.
Yeah, they're 4-4, but Florida's ranked 11th in the country. So Utah and Arizona State. Arizona State with the lead, 21-17 on the Utes. And one other game going on in the Big Ten that we're keeping our eyes on, Illinois, the Fighting Illini, up 24-17 on the Golden Gophers as they kick off the second half.
Now time for our Saturday night specials.
It's time to put money in your pocket.
What's wrong making a few bucks on the side?
It's the Saturday night special.
You want some of this, don't you?
Yeah!
Well, you need to know the winner. And I know the winner.
It's time to put money in your pocket. Yeah. It's the Saturday night special on Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000.
All right, place your bet.
It's the Saturday night special.
It's time for our Saturday night specials right here on Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Jonathan Adam and Chris with you. Follow us on Twitter at ESPN 1000 CCT. Let's take a look at the bets. I will start first. Let's start first.
All right.
Big game. UAB will take on Texas San Antonio. UAB continues to be on a run as it looks like the runaway star of the Conference USA. On a six-game winning streak, the defense continues to be a brick wall, allowing just 7 points or fewer in four of the last five games. Can Texas San Antonio break through this? Well, I mean, they're last in the nation in total offense and averaging just 17 points a game, so probably not really. I love UAB minus 22 against Texas San Antonio. Adam?
Lock it up. I'm going to look first. I'm going to look first to tonight's matchup that we are leading you into in about 22 minutes. Notre Dame and Northwestern. We talked about at the beginning of the show all of the ways that Notre Dame is better than this Northwestern team. I don't care about the cardiac cats. I care more about how they are 109 or 105th in S&P Plus offense. They are 109th in sacks and tackles for a loss on defense. They are 75th on rushing defense, and Notre Dame, we've seen how good they can be. This should be one of these in-and-out matchups, a business trip, a workman's-like effort for Notre Dame. They are a 9.5-point favorite. If they don't walk out of there by more than two touchdowns, there is a problem. Notre Dame should win this handily. I like Notre Dame minus 9.5.
Notre Dame minus 9.5. If you notice the ebb and flow of this line all week, guys, it went up to about 10 and a hook. It was at 10. It was at down to 9. Now you got it at 9.5 locked in, right?
I saw an 8.5 earlier today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I'll take 9.5. That's what it is right now.
Before
yeah.
I go to Chris, I'll ask you this question. If this was 10 and a hook, would you still take Notre Dame?
I think this is a two touchdown win. So, yeah, probably. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, based on your logic on how the game will be playing out and what you're going to bet, how do you play the over-under? It's at 50 right now.
Ooh, that is a good question.
Yeah, they're right? Because if you're suggesting that they're going to win by two touchdowns, are you suggesting it's like a 21-10 type of game?
Look, I don't know how...
21-7?
I don't know how Northwestern is going to be able to move the ball. Right. They can't run the ball.
There's magic at night there.
What?
Tall grass?
What magic?
There's enough magic there.
With graphing calculators?
There's enough magic to get to 13.
Okay.
To get to 13. I think there's enough magic for the... No, I agree with you.
to 13.
I think there's enough magic there for a couple of field goals there and a touchdown.
Right.
That's what I think.
So two field goals and a touchdown for Northwestern.
That's about right, yeah.
Okay. So, but even if it's still
just take the over
30-13, 30-13, that's an under.
Yeah. See, Notre Dame's got more offense than that.
Yeah. See, Notre Dame, we've seen them put up points against good teams. They scored 38 against Stanford.
Once they
45 against Virginia Tech.
Once Northwestern puts up the crying kid.
Oh no.
You scored 19 and also, so you got that. So once they put the crying kid up there, they're going to lose all momentum. You remember that from the NCAA tournament,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Kid crying in the crowd. Little clown. Now we turn over to Chris Black. Chris?
Guys, for my first game, I'm looking at ABC at 7 o'clock. Oklahoma, the 7th-ranked team in the country, traveling to Texas Tech. They're 5-3. Oklahoma's 7-1. The current Football Power Index says Oklahoma is the 4th-ranked team in the country. Texas Tech is 19th. FPI is giving Oklahoma a 72% chance to win this game. The line opened this week with Oklahoma minus 10.5. Since that time, the line is now 14. Texas Tech is getting 14 points at home against a team that can't stop anybody. I am going to take the Red Raiders and Texas Tech plus the points is my first pick.
Texas Tech plus 14?
Plus 14.
Okay. All right, let's take a look at number two. You guys were not impressed with my first pick. You know, I like to be able to line my bets with Conference USA and off-the-radar games.
Nothing wrong with that.
So let's look at Adam. He's always shaking his head. How about this one? How about Notre Dame? How about the Cats? Huh? Mm-hmm. Northwestern continues to defy logic, and for good reason, right? Last week, took advantage of a mistake-prone Wisconsin team, getting past three picks and 167 yards and a score with two rushing touchdowns. So From Notre Dame's standpoint, though, Dexter Williams on the ground with the tall grass continues to be great at all times. But Ian Book and the air show has been really carrying the offense. So Book has not necessarily been that sharp, though. You know, he's been as good as any quarterback in college football other than a few interceptions. Here's a number. Granted that he's been giving away three picks the last 2 weeks, he's completed close to 82% of his throws in wins against Pitt and against Navy. He's connected on 77% of his passes overall, and the big plays are coming. Without hesitation, a very, very quick click on the website, Notre Dame is going to win, not only win the game, they will cover the 9 against the Go Cats. Adam?
For my second pick, I'm going to go to the game that Chris Bleck took for his first pick, Oklahoma, Texas Tech, points, points, and more points. The over-under is 79. The over is 6-1-1 for Oklahoma this season, 6-2 for Texas Tech. We heard Ralph Michaels tell us about this, and he said, take the over. I'm taking the over. I love watching shootouts. I love watching points, especially at night, especially with Oklahoma. They can't, both teams can't stop anybody. I'll take the over 79.
Over 79 for Texas Tech?
And Oklahoma, yeah.
At Oklahoma. Just typing it in. Chris?
All right, guys, later tonight on ESPN television, after Northwestern and Notre Dame, what do you get? You get Cal and Washington State.
Don't do this.
All right, Cal is 5-3 on the season, heading to Wazoo. The number 8 team in the country, they're 7-1. That game doesn't kick off until 9:45. What do you not want me to do, Abdallah?
Don't.
You're telling me not to do something. What do you want me to
just
not do?
Do your picks.
All right. Washington State is in the FPI. The percentage to win the game, 81%. I think a lot of people think Cal has a good defense. I think that's what's out there. This line opened at minus 11. If you take a look at these two teams, though, here's what I'm playing. I'm playing on the fact that Washington State this season, when it comes to the over-under, the overs have gone 6-2 on Washington State games. The over-under in this matchup is 50.5. I am going the over in the Cal-Washington State game, 50.5. Is that not what you wanted me to
do,
Abdallah? What did you want me to do?
You can do that. I'll tell you my third pick.
All right, fine. Well, there you go. I'm going over Wazoo and Cal.
It's Jonathan's turn.
Over the Wazoo and Cal game, 50.5. Over.
50.5. Got it. Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. I'm making sure I got the right number in if we put this on ESPN 1000 CCT so everyone can see our picks. Third pick is USC and Oregon State.
Ugh.
Well, JT Daniels is back, and if it works, the offense should be fine. Overall, the Trojan O has had a world of issues. It's having a hard time controlling the clock. There are way too many turnovers, and the running game just isn't clicking. So Oregon State should be a fix for all that because their defense isn't very good. The Beaver run defense is getting destroyed for over 200 yards or more in four of the last five games. Only Washington State was under, and it's only because it's Washington State and throws. USC doesn't have to do anything crazy to cover the number. However, because of the turmoil that's happening at USC, USC is going to win this ball game. I could just leave it there and just say, I'm going to pick USC to win the game. I also like the plus 14.5, though, with this as well. So you go the way you want to go. USC is going to win this game, but I think, Chris, from your standpoint, even with a win, if it's 7 points or less, that still feels like a loss because their personnel should be better than Oregon State.
They should. Is the right quarterback starting this week for USC?
You want Sears.
Is Clay Helton once again giving the quarterback position to someone who may not be outperforming the other quarterbacks on the roster?
Oh.
And that is a question that many following the program are asking because Jack Sears didn't look too bad last week in his first start against Arizona State.
Very good.
He completed 20 for 28. 235 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. He looked the part. He made good decisions. He was pretty good. But for some reason, once again, the gig is now gifted to a quarterback who looked a bit shaky until he got hurt, JT Daniels. And this reminds a lot of people of when there was artificial suppression with Sam Darnold at USC. So is Clay Helton getting the right quarterback on the field once again?
Good question. I love...
I agree with you, Jonathan, though, in your assessment. If this is a close game, I think it will be looked at as, yes, Clay Helton's team won a game, and they will act like everything's fine and dandy, but in reality, it's not. And if they lose, God forbid, tonight, wow.
Think on the tarmac.
If there is a tarmac near, there is a possibility that Clay Helton's going to have to be looking for a new gig soon.
They're not going to lose the game. I like USC to win.
If they lose.
They're not going to lose the game.
If they lose, you know who's coming for Helton? Colin Cowherd. He'll come right for Clay Helton. this guy. Swag. You know that's going to happen. You're going to hear it in his opening rant.
And the black man declares, he'll be like, are you going to drop off or pick it up? Go ahead.
Guys, as I will pull the Herb Street and abstain from picking the Alabama LSU game.
Weak. Give a take.
I will abstain.
Weak.
I've given my take the entire show.
Weak.
Washington State and Cal. Mike Leach, 8-0 against the spread so far this season. He's a 7.5-point favorite. Well, the whole team is, but Washington State is a 7.5-point favorite against Cal. You bet a trend until it's not a trend anymore. They're 8-0 against the spread, soon to be 9-0 against the spread. Like Chris said, that defense for Cal, not so good. Not so good. Flyover State. So we go to Washington minus 7.5.
Chris? All right, guys. So we heard Ralph Michaels give us the pick on the Fresno State at UNLV game. That's 9:30 tonight on CBS Sportsnet. That line opened earlier in the week at 25. Fresno State is the big favorite. They're 7-1, 23rd in the country. Going at UNLV, they're only 2-6. That line is now plus 27 for UNLV. So 27 points is what Fresno State needs to cover. I know that Ralph told us to only bet on Fresno State and don't be dumb with your money, but I'm dumb. And I'm going to spend my money on UNLV to just give me the points. Fresno will win, but you're giving me plus 27 at home. I'm taking UNLV.
All right. UNLV plus 27.5, right?
27. Plus 27.
Just 27.
Yep.
Okay. That's our Saturday night specials right here on Chicago's College Tailgate.
All of the latest college football scores, previews, and lines. Chicago. It's college football's highest honor.
From now on, your name will be followed by the words Heisman, Heisman Trophy winner.
I will be the Heisman.
Along with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah, here's Jonathan Hood.
We have Northwestern Notre Dame football for you coming up at the top of the hour right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Time for a Tua Watch. Here's Chris Black.
All right, guys, as we take a look at the Heisman Trophy, we are about a month away. December 8th is when they give the trophy away in New York City, and it's going to be Tua Tagovailoa who's going to win it. But how much will he win it by, right? Because tonight is an opportunity for Tua and Tua Watch to give us that moment where we say, ah, there it is. That's our Heisman Trophy winner against a really good LSU team on the road.
He's the only one of the 109 quarterbacks with at least 150 attempts this season to not throw an interception. Just does that change tonight against a stacked LSU secondary?
I will say this, that Kyler Murray should be second on that list. Slightly behind Tua, by the way, as far as the best QBR rating in college football. Kyler Murray in Oklahoma done a terrific job offensively.
Yeah, Kyler Murray last week against Kansas State had 3 touchdowns, 350 yards, and tonight going against Texas Tech. So there's going to be a lot of points on the board. So if Alabama gets upset, is an opportunity for Kyler Murray to show out and maybe start to get into the conversation. Remember, 1 month, so about 4 games each to kind of sprint towards the end, and Tua has a huge head start.
All right, Chicago's College Tailgate is brought to you by the fine folks at Four Winds Casino South Bend. Escape the everyday. Don't forget, next week we'll be on the road. Chicago's College Tailgate will be at Four Winds Casino South Bend, 3 to 5:30, leading you into Notre Dame against Florida State. We thank you for listening and being part of the program here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Our thanks to you for listening. Our thanks to Adam Rittenberg and Ralph Michaels for being with us. Show produced by Dr. Sean Davis on the other side of the glass. All right, next week, guys, on the road. Going to be fun.
Yeah, Four Winds Casino South Bend. Let's do it.
I'll meet you guys at the blackjack table before the show.
Okay, 3 to 5:30 next Saturday. Thanks for listening to Chicago's College Tailgate. Notre Dame football's next on ESPN 1000.